Okay, as you've probably gathered, tonight we're going to be talking about Moses and the burning bush and what significance it has for us. However, before we get into the nitty-gritty, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been asked to do something which you really didn't want to do or were uncertain about? I know I have. For example, I'm always being asked to cut the grass or empty the dishwasher. A few other examples that maybe you can relate to are being asked to be involved in Messy Church or even this year's pantomime. In all these questions, I wasn't sure what to do, but on each occasion, I said yes. For some, cutting the grass may seem boring and trivial, but it's something I've come to enjoy. Being involved in Messy Church and other youth activities, you get to be amazed by young people and children and their willingness to learn from you. And at the same time, you get to learn from them, as we have done tonight. In terms of the pantomime, we were able to put on a fantastic performance and form new and lasting friendships. Although when we're asked to do something, we might be uncertain or scared, the results can be very surprising. Keep that in mind as we look together at Moses' story. So, who was Moses? Moses was born to a Hebrew mother. At that time, Pharaoh had ordered that all Hebrew male babies be killed. And so Moses was sent down the River Nile in a basket and was found by Pharaoh's daughter. And that meant he'd be brought up in Pharaoh's house as a prince. Years later, Moses saw an Egyptian beating one of the Hebrew slaves. And so he intervened, which led to him killing the Egyptian. Moses then fled to Midian to avoid arrest and death. In Midian, he began to work as a shepherd and married a woman named Zipporah, a far cry from his former life as a prince in Egypt. From this, we can see that Moses was by no means perfect, just like us. But he was about to have an incredible encounter with God. As Exodus 3:1 was read to us by Ewan earlier, it says, "One day Moses was tending to his father-in-law's flock when an angel of the Lord appeared to him as a blazing fire in a bush." Let's take a moment to think about the significance of this burning bush. It was engulfed by flames, but it did not burn. This symbol is commonly used in churches and acts as a reminder that we may face persecution, but God is on our side, so we won't be burned. Perhaps this was a sign of what would happen to Moses as he went to Pharaoh. When Moses sees the burning bush, he hears a call from God. He takes his sandals off and covers his face in fear. We can learn from this that when we come into the presence of God, whether at church or in prayer, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to be open to what God wants to tell us and recognize his glory as we do that. God then asks Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. Quite a daunting prospect for a man who was probably used to a quiet life, working in the fields during the day and returning home to his family at night. However, that's how God works. He calls people from their ordinary lives to serve him. There are a number of instances of this in the Bible. For example, when Jesus calls Peter and Andrew when they're fishing, or when God called Abraham to leave Haran and move to Canaan. At this stage, Moses was 80 years old, I may have felt he was too old for such an important task as to take the Israelites out of Egypt. However, God doesn't discriminate. He chooses all different kinds of people to serve him, no matter what their background, whether young or old, male or female. Again, we see numerous examples of this in his word. God uses Saul, a notorious murderer of Christians, to become one of the greatest missionaries of all time. God uses a child's packed lunch to feed over 5,000 people. So your background shouldn't discourage you when God points you towards a new challenge. Moses thinks that he's not a good speaker, and even if he was, he didn't think that the Israelites would believe that God had sent them to free them from slavery. Reassuringly, God had an answer to these problems. He tells Moses that he'll be with him, will enable him to do miracles, and advise him to bring Aaron along with him to do some of the speaking. Moses brought his concerns to God about this challenge, and God was able to answer. When we bring our concerns to God through prayer, he will give us an answer too. We too should be reassured that he is always with us. God created the world and everything in it. With that power on our side, we shouldn't be afraid to step out of our comfort zone every once in a while. Having listened to God, Moses headed to Egypt. Moses would have further doubts, but again, he listened to God and was able to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. He would continue to lead them in the desert, bringing them the Ten Commandments. This showed that God continued to use Moses to carry out his work. God is continually using us to carry out his work. Just as God called Moses to lead his people, he also calls us. And for me, there are two main calls from God in the Bible. The first is the call to believe that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to take away our sins, and then to rise again on the third day to give us the opportunity to have eternal life with him in heaven. The call is to believe that it's not by anything we have done or will do that we can have a relationship with God, but it's through his grace and his grace alone that that relationship can happen. If this is the call that you have, then don't be afraid to take that step. God will listen to you and support you. If you have accepted this call, then that isn't the end. There's a second call from God. In Matthew 28, Jesus commissions his disciples to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations. This commission wasn't just for those disciples standing in front of Jesus. It's also for us. In this, our year of mission, we should be particularly challenged by this call. We should want to share what Jesus has done in our lives. If we're not challenged by this call, then perhaps we haven't truly heard the first call and accepted it. If we accept the first call that God has saved us through his grace, then surely we would want to share that with others. At this point, I'd like to share an extract from a book we've been reading called Honest Evangelism at our Young Adults Group. And it's written by a preacher called Rico Tice. I happen to notice the book's over there at the stall, so you can have a look at it later on. To set the context, Rico is at university and he's talking about his experience of sharing the gospel. So here we go. And that's just it. It's all about love. My willingness to tell people the gospel is a test of my love for them. This couldn't have come home to me any more clearly than when I was at university. I'd given a guy in the rugby team a tape. I'm old enough that it was a tape, not a podcast, of a sermon I preached. It was on John chapter 1, verse 29. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I remember that in the sermon I simply and starkly said that either way we pay for our sin in hell or the Lamb pays for us on the cross. This friend, called Ed, played my sermon one night to his housemates who were in the same rugby team as us. And one of them, Dave, got very upset. He said, if that's what Rico believes, the fact he said nothing of it to me in months means he's not really my friend. So Ed rang me up and said, Rico, you need to speak to Dave. He's upset that you've not talked to him till now about what's in the sermon. And Dave was right. If I'd really loved him, I'd have warned him about hell, shown him the cross, and invited him to trust Jesus and spend eternity with him in the new creation. It was a life-changing phone call. I found myself praying that I wouldn't only have a sense of God's love for me, but I would have that same love for others, that I would love them enough to risk rejection in order to speak to them about Jesus and warn them about hell. Don't be deluded. Everyone needs Jesus. Everyone. We have to keep remembering that we are like grass. We may be flourishing now, but death is real. It doesn't always warn us of its arrival, and without Jesus, what lies beyond is terrible. So everyone needs to hear about him. If we love those around us, surely we should want to share God's love with them because we know what it means. Sometimes we might not feel worthy. Like Moses, we might think, I'm too old or too young or that's not for me. Or maybe we're simply scared of rejection. But none of that is true because we're not alone when we share the gospel. The creator of the universe, the most powerful being, is on our side and he will help us. So this week, I want to challenge you to listen. I want to challenge you to listen to what God is saying to you. Ask him, how can you share the gospel this week? Ask him for help to do it. Ask him how you can be more involved in mission and what you can do. God will answer your prayer and he will be able to do amazing things through you. I'm just going to pray to close. Lord, we just thank you for your word, Lord, and we thank you for the story of Moses, and we thank you that even though he was old, even though he wasn't a good speaker, Lord, you decided to use him, Lord, and just the same, you want to use us as well, Lord. So I just pray as we go into the next week, Lord, we come to you and ask, how can you use me this week, Lord, and that we'll hear that call, Lord, we'll hear that call to serve you, Lord. Just pray these things in your name. Amen.